Let me tell you what, boys. Pulled my back on Saturday at a workout. I have now realized that the worst thing that you can have is back pain of any sort. Like, it is so debilitating.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even sit straight right now.
Is it like lower back?
Yeah, my like right above my ass, like, you know, on that, that middle part of your back.
Dude, it's
killing me.
That stinks.
Oh.
My back feels all right.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
You're not an adult until you wake up with horrible back pain.
Yeah.
So welcome. Oh, my God.
Well, dude, once you hit 30, that doesn't happen just at workouts. It happens when you just, like, get up sometimes.
It happens whenever it feels like it. Yeah. It's over.
That was it? Like, now it's over?
No, it's done. It's done. Your life is over. Imagine it's just kind of the slow walk towards death
now. Imagine how much Dan's back must hurt if our backs already hurt this much.
The things that I'm doing every day, all that stuff that I do with Al, like, I've been pain. I started doing that shit with him because of back pain, but I've been pain free since then because I'm doing 90 minutes a day to make just to make sure that that does not happen to me.
Damn, like, Tony, you got to get yourself an Al.
What does Al do, Dan?
It's something,
what do you guys do?
It's something called Kihara. It's to make sure that your body's connected, because rarely is that pain about where you think it is. It's
right.
It's something else. Your core, your glutes, something, your hips, something's tight. And then that's just
like what shoots up.
That's just where it ends up.
Oof, it is bad.
But to answer your question, Al's a gigolo.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He just has ravenous sex with me, and it just fixes my back every time.
Ah, Kihara. Stu, I'm sorry. You
can hear me. Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Tony.
I want to send my condolences to you.
Oh.
Because I've been tilting all day.
I'm really worried about next week. Browns face the Red Hot Jets.
Who do the Jags play?
Congratulations on avoiding history. You don't want to be winless, man.
F*** off.
Worst win in franchise history?
The worst loss in franchise history. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jaguars schedule.
Now, a loss.
They got the Bears and the Colts.
We've been taping, correct, Mike? Let's just start
it's
there.
It's going to start with
Tony's
condolences.
Well, let's start all around, because Tony, right before, he offered Stugat's condolences on the Jets, and I want to get – in general to football. But A, we have to talk about Mike Ryan totaling his car in a parking lot, which doesn't make sense to me, because it doesn't seem like anybody would be moving fast enough in a parking lot to total a car. But put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Can you total your car slowly moving in a parking lot? Yes or no? And the second question, do you like going to the car dealership? Because I don't think that is something that people like. But before we were talking about that, Tony arrived officially in old age, where you start lamenting this stuff, because he says he got up with back pain. And you should have heard Roy and Chris and Billy, ostensibly the young ones, A, marveling at what kind of pain me and Stugatz must be in daily. But B, all three of them were talking about, like, back pain, that's it. Your life's over, Billy. It's the most debilitating. It's the worst. What is worse in terms of pain than back pain? Because it just seizes you up and you got no chance. But it seems to have dawned on Tony. Tony has been in this blissful, naive youth for so long that he doesn't understand what it's like for the body to just become useless because of back pain.
Young Tony was talking about being at the gym or wherever he was doing a workout somewhere and hurting his back. And we pointed out, once you hit 30, because he's in his late 20s, once you hit 30, you don't need the gym for this back pain. You just get out of bed wrong.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, I was doing a workout with my trainer on Saturday, and we were doing some deadlift into some power cleans. And I think one of the power cleans may have gone wrong and kind of seized me up in the back. But it's been 3 days and I just can't kick it. Like, it is kicking my ass right now.
I mean, the idea of watching you power clean.
I mean, you just love that. I just thought of that before you even said it. I thought of you thinking centrally about the phrase power clean. Billy, why is it that you were laughing at Tony? You seem to take a certain delight in, I believe you said, your life is now over.
Yeah, his life's over. I mean, not a delight. I'm in the same boat as he is, the back pain boat. And it's not a fun boat to go on. It's not a cruise ship. It's not a luxury cruise. It's not a fun boat. And now he's here. He's on the back pain boat. And I feel bad for him because it's not going to go away. You could do whatever it is that you want to do. You could put on some icy hot this and that. And you think, hey, I kicked it. Hey, this is healed. It's not. It'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'm telling you. All you got to do is move the wrong way and it's going to be there forever.
So it's like 6 months before my 30th birthday, and this is what I arrived to. Like back pain that is shooting down my hip, down my leg, into my foot, and now there's no way for me to get rid of it ever again.
Never.
Sciatica. It might be sciatica. It's probably not even your back. It's probably something else that's weakened that is showing up in pain in your back. Stugatz would just suggest an epidural.
Yeah, it worked for me. I mean, I got one of those big needles, Tony. I went in there, could barely walk, and I left the doctor's office never being so flexible in my entire life.
Of course, it takes is a needle to the spine. There's just getting out some fluid from the spine, I think, is the way the epidural works. So if you're willing to do that instead of like exercise or, you know, Pilates or core strengthening, then the way to go is just the medicine that women use in order to make the pain of childbirth subdue.
But then I become like a drug addict, right? Where I can't do anything without the epidural shot, and I'm fiending for it every time I have some sort of pain.
So here's what I can tell you. I got an epidural. I got it like nearly 10 years ago, and the back for the most part has been okay. I think it's like a once a decade thing. Like you'll be fine. And you're young. So if you get one now, you probably won't have to get your next one until you're like 45. Okay.
Stugatz.
And I'll spend every day in between those 2 days massaging you if you'd like.
Stugatz. Yeah. Stugatz. Did you smoke the unfiltered ones today?
No.
Your tongue sounds so heavy.
My tongue does?
He does. First of all,
new mouthpiece.
You sound. It
new
does.
Zippo.
It sounds like you have a compressor on your tongue while it
is. Well, I did.
That you're speaking. But I'm here, Stugatz. I am here for our turn in the next incarnation to use straight longing for Tony in a way that's public. Because in January, we're not going to have a human resources department. So all of this is inappropriate.
Right.
But we're in a netherworld in January as soon as we leave the company where we don't know who's making the rules, what the rules are going to be. We know that there probably needs to be a compliance training video and stuff where it's not a good thing for you on the air to be lusting after Tony during workouts.
Sorry.
But I do think that, look, our shows, to God, it's one of the things that I have loved in one of the early incarnations of our show was how uncomfortable people were made when we would go straight in on, oh my God, Larry Fitzgerald's ass. It's the sweetest thing I've ever seen. And it was so strange for people who were listening to sports radio to be like, Jim Mandich and Hank Goldberg, like, what the hell are these guys doing? Like, I was watching, I told you I've been watching this Reagan documentary. And if you go back even just 40 years to how homosexuals were treated, Stugatz, you will find a totally different America. It's where you get gays treated in a way that is an afterthought. Like they're showing Ronald Reagan in a press conference talking about AIDS. And basically he's blaming it on gays. He's blaming gays for their lifestyle for having brought the curse of God. So in the last 40 years, so much has changed that even that language coming from the president, which wasn't weird at the time.
Right.
It wasn't weird. It was like everybody, they didn't even know what AIDS was. Like they're being asked about an epidemic in the gay community, and the president of the United States didn't know what they were talking about.
So you want me to dial it back? It took a weird turn, the whole conversation.
I don't want you to dial it back. I want you to escalate it. It did take a weird turn. What took a weird turn is your sexuality. This was a bit of a surprise to all of us. What is happening now with your longing for Tony is deeply uncomfortable, and I want to sink into it more and more as we evolve. How did you guys?
So do I.
How did you sink into it? Chris, how did you feel about the Dolphin victory? The Patriots are dead. The Patriots, it would look like, Stugatz, I think it's fair to say that the Patriots, even with the way they're built and their coach and everything else, you could actually hope for the Dolphin future more. And the Dolphins are still no guarantee to make the playoffs. I'd be scared of the Ravens. I think the Ravens are better than the Dolphins. but who cares? The Dolphins look like they're trending toward the playoffs. The Dolphins look like they're in position to get, you know, a playoff game that matters, that they can win for the first time since Lamar Smith. Dave wants that? We're talking about 20 years? What did you think of what you saw yesterday, Chris?
I mean, it was impressive. The way they ran the ball for 250 yards, a bunch of creative plays, a fake punt. Matt Hack probably had the most impressive throw of the day. Two-point conversion play that was very creative. I mean, once again, Tua doesn't do really anything that wows you. He made a few little plays here that you see it. But this overall team is the story. I know Tua is like where this conversation just wants to go every week, but this is a complete team, I'm excited. I'm still nervous about the playoffs, though. What, like they have the Ravens right behind them. They have to win out essentially, and they have two tough games.
What I would say to you about where the Dolphins are, and it's a good position to be in. They got here faster than I would have imagined, but they're a quarterback away. That's what they're waiting
for. How dare you?
No, you understand.
How?
No. You understand.
Yes, I know.
You understand what I'm saying, that you feel good enough about all the other pieces and the way that they're coached, that if you had a great quarterback, you might hope that the skill position guys and the draft picks would get you skill position guys, that you'd be like, holy bleep, they've got a real chance here. Tua's got to be great in order for that to be so. The way they're built right now, they lose because their quarterback's not good enough, because they hide their quarterback. And that's okay. He's in his first year. That's not a slight.
Yeah, Ben Volen pissed people off by saying that the Dolphins are hiding their quarterback. Ben Volen's been kind of on the anti-Tua, at least that's the perception. But they did that without Parker and Gesicki, right?
Oh, their skill position help is hurting.
Yeah, they needed the running game to show up, and you have this guy, Ahmed, that you hadn't heard of entering this season, and you run it down the Patriots' throats. I'm not really concerned about Tua. The interception was bad. The athleticism was encouraging. The defense, though, and Xavier Howard, I think, has a legitimate case for Defensive Player of the Year. He's been incredible.
He has been amazing, and I saw a cornerback play yesterday in that Saints game where on Tyreek Hill, where I feel bad for cornerbacks who have to cover that guy, but they covered him well yesterday. But I'm with Mike on this. Xavier Howard quietly is sort of a defense-changing player, because you don't have to worry about what's going on around him, because he's going to steal the football if you throw it over there.
He's always around the ball, so he's a guy that's just constantly
$5.
That's when we're live on the air. It's not during taping.
What do you mean?
Well,
it's,
I have a 20 in there from last week.
No, but you've racked up pretty. Bunch of them last week.
No. I did not rank up $20 of fines last week.
You racked up a bunch.
Maybe $15. So we're even now. Is that fair? Listen, here's the deal. The defense is really good. The team is really good. The coach appears to be very good. We have no idea about the quarterback. But when the quarterback's leading wide receiver is a guy named Durham Smythe, how are you supposed to make any sort of evaluation on Tua?
This is what the Dolphins did yesterday. They beat Belichick and the Patriots, and they eliminated the Patriots from the playoffs for the first time in 20 years with the worst skill guys in the sport playing yesterday.
Correct.
That's what they did, where there was nothing out there for them. Like, you can't even – Tua, the only thing you could say about Tua is, yeah, that interception, don't do that. Don't panic on third down and just throw a flutter ball into the corner. But that's it. Like, 160 yards running the ball, however it is you need to beat them to stay ahead of the – I'd be scared of the Ravens, Chris. I would. I think the Ravens are better than – the Ravens have been wrecked by COVID this year. They were 14-2 last year. The Ravens are better than the Dolphins. That's no slight on the Dolphins. And they've been wrecked by COVID, and the only reason they're behind the Dolphins is because they've been wrecked by COVID. But what the Dolphins are doing, I think the thing that's most encouraging about this, and they're a year ahead of schedule. This was not supposed to be a playoff contending year. The thing that's encouraging is you can tell from looking at it that the pieces of discipline and coaching and not being afraid yesterday with what Chris is talking about, throwing out of a punt formation. This is with limited skill guys. Throwing out of a punt formation, doing the lateral on the two-point conversion. They ain't playing scared either. They're playing with confidence, and you should feel good that the leadership in place is leadership that appears to be first time in a long time, maybe since Saban, appears to be confident and competent.
Yes, here's what Chris is afraid of, though. The Ravens' final two games, Giants-Bengals.
Yeah, it's bad.
And the Dolphins have Raiders-Bills.
Well, I thought it was against the Browns. I thought that the positioning was going to be with the Browns.
The Browns, there's a real scenario here playing itself out that if the Browns win and they still probably need to beat the Steelers week 17, now that may be a meaningless game for the Steelers, but there's a real scenario that as the Browns go on 11-5 and missing the playoffs,
Dolphins
because they're
too,
at the bottom.
Right? Are the Dolphins, is it possible? The Dolphins can't out and miss, right? They cannot win out and miss the playoffs. Right.
Correct.
So what do the Dolphins have left, Chris? How does that look? And I don't know how confident you can be.
The Raiders game on Saturday night.
They have the Raiders,
It's a Saturday night primetime game. It looks like Mariota is going to be starting that game. That's not an easy game winning on the road.
They've lost a bunch in a row, though, the Raiders.
Yeah, they're a different team. They're a different team. But look, this is a team that won at Kansas City. I know that Derek Carr is injured. They're going to have some guys returning from COVID. They had their entire defense out that last game.
Well, but
game.
The thing, Chris, the place that I've arrived, and this happened quickly in terms of believing in Dolphin leadership. It happened quicker than it might have happened to me, almost specifically. And I've not looked at this, Chris, so help me out. Because they're not doing that dumb Dolphin thing of losing those games that you know they should be winning.
They did once with the Broncos.
They did it the one time with the Broncos, and it was on the road, and football happened to them, but football hasn't happened to them a lot this season. When they go into a game like the one that you're talking about, the reason that I believe in the Dolphins more than the Raiders, even though it's quite possible the Raiders will win that game, because the Raiders have been good when they were healthier earlier this season, but the reason is because the Raiders have lost that game a few times this season. I've watched the Raiders lose by 40 points going to Atlanta right when it feels like they're going to start doing something. The Dolphins have won the games this season to surprise you, and they haven't lost too many of the games where you're slapping your forehead and saying, look at same old Dolphins.
Yeah, they've won a couple of games also that they weren't supposed to win, which helps, right?
The NFL lucked out this season because the football has been quality. They expanded the playoffs, and you're looking at a situation where an 11-5 team can miss out even with the playoff expansion.
If the Dolphins make the playoffs, it's because of those two back-to-back wins against the Rams and the Cardinals in the middle of the season. Because I think a lot of people had them losing those two games, and they won both of those. The thing I would say about
49ers too, Chris, because the 49ers were but they were super injured, but still that was a loss. You go into the season and you say San Francisco's at San Francisco, right. That's a loss.
Yes.
I think the Raiders game this week is 50-50. Like, I think that game could go either way. The hope for the Dolphins is if they win that game that the Bills have nothing to play for the final game, and they hopefully with the extra week. I think there's a week before the playoffs start because of like the whole COVID stuff, just to give them an extra week, so I could see the Bills wanting to like rest up all their guys.
The Bills are
so
really good. The Bills are super good. That's a team that could bother Kansas City. That's a team. How many times have they lost this season? They lost on the Hail Mary.
They're 11-3.
No, but how many times have they lost this season in a way that's not a close game? Because Arizona, that game, you go on the road, you lose to Arizona on a Hail Mary. That game could have gone either way. What are their other two losses?
Kansas City kind of dominated that game start to finish. They did what they
wanted. Tennessee beat them up.
The Cardinals barely beat them.
Oh, yeah, the Tennessee game. That was like the weird COVID reschedule. Yeah. That was the first like odd is this a Tuesday?
It was 42-16. I mean, they beat him pretty good.
Chris, any sort of extra satisfaction in ending the Patriots?
Oh, I love it. I love looking at Belichick right now and just being like, that's right. Brady's in Tampa. You don't have him anymore. What's it like, huh? It's not as easy when you don't have a quarterback, huh? Mr. Smartest Guy in the Room. What'd you take away from the Dolphins this week, Mr. Smartest Guy in the Room? Nothing. You didn't take away shit because you're shit without Bill Belichick. I mean, I don't know.
What happened? You fell apart.
Wow. Instead of curse word.
He is Bill Belichick. He's shit without Belichick. He is Belichick.
The Dolphins took those things away by being injured.
Chris, hold on, Chris. You got That's carried right, away. Let's try this again.
He's feeling good about himself. Why don't you have a day here?
Let's try it again. Hold on a minute. We all saw what happened there. Yes, this is Chris Cody trying to find his footing as an angry baby bird on behalf of the Miami Dolphins, talking shit because it's been 20 years since he's been allowed. The last time he was allowed to say anything about the Patriots, he was literally 10 years old. He He does not have his legs, his sea legs, in terms of trash talking. So do you want to trot that out again, Chris, and not fall apart on calling Bill Belichick shit, which is not something we should be doing on ESPN
Tony,
radio?
Take that part out. Take that part out.
No, leave it in.
No, leave it all in.
No, leave it in. And
like
just
the behaviors of shit.
We will point out that you got carried away. Just try it again. Have I filibustered long enough so that you could do this better?
How does it feel, Bill Belichick, to not have Tom Brady and to be? What'd you take away from us this week, huh, Bill Belichick? Nothing. You didn't take away squat. I'm replacing shit with squat. Okay.
It's worse though. It's getting worse.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not emotional.
You are squat.
You didn't call him
Bill
Mr. Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah. Right. No, you were more.
Did that twice the first.
Yeah. What happened is that you got emotional the first time. Now you're in reruns, and it doesn't have the same.
And I've
emotion.
Lost confidence.
Yeah. And well, and you should have. Yeah. This is because this is what's happened. This is what the Dolphins have had stolen from them the last 20 years. So Stu Gatz, 2 weeks ago, because you're a jellyfish and a flim-flam artist, even though I don't know what flim-flam is.
What?
It was a couple of weeks ago that you said, Stu Gatz.
Flim-flam.
You look it up, please. Tell me what flim-flam is. It's somewhere in the recesses of my mind. But you said that Brady was dangerously close to losing the Who Gets the Credit Bowl after Bill Belichick stopped Herbert. That's a saint. You had been riding right next to Brady for forever, and you were ready to give the credit to Bill Belichick after what he did to Herbert.
That was then. This is now. Flim flam is nonsensical or insincere talk. That's
okay,
what flim flam.
So you're a flim flam artist.
I
is
am,
what you are.
Actually, yes.
Flim flam.
That's right. He is flim flam. What is it? Where does that expression come from? I don't know why it is. I don't know much of anything about that expression except that it's old, and somewhere in my head, even while not knowing the definition, I thought it said Stu Gatz. And look how right I am. I must have been using that in private.
It sounds
somewhere.
Like Dr. Seuss invented this word. Let me see.
Is it one word, or does it have a dash
money,
in it?
If I had to bet money, I'd take the plus 300 that Dr. Seuss invented this.
The verb form of it is swindle. So I am flim flam.
Good God. I love the idea.
The tribe was flim flammed out of its land. I mean, that's what it says in the definition. Dictionary.com.
16th century, a little bit before Dr. Seuss.
Angel, make a t-shirt of flim flam because one of the things that, well, I can't say too much about what's happening, but there are going to be some changes to some things. And one of them is the merch store is going to have more options, more freedom. And so I'm excited about what we can do with that because there have been some difficulties in getting stuff immediately to you. But we've always wanted, when the merch store first started, what we were trying to do, and this was a whole complicated process, but we were hoping to make art every day off of something that would happen like that, where Flim Flam makes an appearance because we're just talking about it.
I mean, we were also hoping to secure a web handle. We couldn't even do that.
That's correct.
yeah.
It was
tricky, those right, web handles.
Hold on. So I need to tell the audience.
We can
this.
Tell that story in a couple
weeks. Well, no, we could tell a lot of stories later, but soon we will have a merch store for you that more represents what it is we imagined when this started. And it's hard to explain the number of obstacles that happen when lawyers get involved, but we weren't able to produce art as quickly. So I want you to imagine, for one example, without giving away the game too much, the idea that Flim Flam catches during a show in a way that is super strong. Some immediate art at the end of the show with Stu Gatz's face on it, dripping in phlegm, where you could buy whatever, a hat or a hoodie or a sticker or whatever, of Stu Gatz dripping in phlegm phlegm. Like that's what we were trying to do when we started. And as Mike said, we lost the domain name.
The Dan Levitard show with phlegm phlegm.
Somebody forgot to go to GoDaddy or something. So we didn't quite get this off the ground the way that we wanted to, but we're looking forward to in the next incarnation, however it is that it looks. And again, we should probably tell people, Mike, what's going on in January, because we don't totally know even ourselves what our work schedule is going to be after January 4th as we figure some stuff out.
I was meaning to talk to you about that because you kind of alluded to what you want to do last week, I think, internally on the Zoom. I don't really know yet you know, kind of want to make sure the lights are on and the internet's working and all that.
But one of the things that I want to do, and I want the audience in on this so that they can feel like they're a part of what it is that we're doing in a real way, because the community around this show, Stugatz, as you know, it is loyal in a way that is overwhelming and allows us certain freedoms to go chase some of this stuff now, because we're about to have a lot of fun with you. And I want you guys to sort of see the process, messy though it is, and it's going to be messy. I've been trying to get a printer here. This is a big radio show. A printer for 4 months.
Yeah.
For 4 months, so I can simply read stuff during the show, and we haven't been able to get it. So we are going to now do some things that mean that we have to rebuild this place, because we're going to now be in charge of this place. Yeah. We've got to learn everything about the way the infrastructure of this place runs, because it's been run by Disney.
We're going to have a printer.
Picture our show with a printer.
Can you imagine? That should be our slogan. That should be, what are you expecting? Look, your show.
Slogo.
It's show logo. Show logo. Slogo.
Kick, save, and abuse.
This is what it should be. Our slogo should be exactly that, Chris. How do you imagine it? The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz, reinvented with a printer.
Now with a printer.
Some big changes around here. We have a printer.
wait till we debut January 5th. We're just going to come out and you're going to hear a printer running. And we're like, look at this, baby. Look at what we are now. We left the platforms of ESPN to get you a printer.